We're going to do a special class in Jewish history for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Chazal tell us there was a king called Yanai HaMelech who was married to Shlemtzion HaMalka, Shlemtzion the queen. Yanai decided he was forsaking his tradition and becoming a Sadducee. And then he went out on a killing spree and killed out all the sages he could get his hands on. So at that time, we ran into a very big problem that all the sages who went based on the oral tradition were either killed or had to go into hiding. At that time, the head of the court was named Shimon ben Shatach. And Shimon ben Shatach was the brother of Shlemtzion the queen. So he, even though all the other rabbis were being killed, he was given special privilege, his life. And his contemporary, his Rebbe, who was the head of the Jewish, the Nasi, was Yoshua ben Parachia. Now Yoshua ben Parachia fled to Alexandria of Egypt. And Yoshua ben Parachia had taken under his wing a young student. This student had a problem. His mother was married, Miriam. And his mother was married to a very big sage called Pappus ben Yehuda. But Pappus ben Yehuda never trusted his wife, so when he'd leave the house, he'd lock the door and lock the windows, and he kept her hostage in the house. So at some point, she fled. She went with a non-Jew named Pandora. And with the non-Jew Pandora, she had a child named Yeshua. And this Yeshua was adopted by Rabbi Yoshua ben Parachia. He took him under his wing, and he taught him Torah. And when Rabbi Yoshua ben Parachia fled to Egypt, so Yeshua went with him. And together they went to Egypt. And when Shimon ben Shatach was able to convince Yanai the king to stop his decree against the rabbis, so Shimon ben Shatach sent word to Rabbi Yoshua ben Parachia, come back. It's peace, you can come back. That's the famous story that when Rabbi Yoshua ben Parachia was in the innkeeper spread out beautiful tablecloths and beautiful food and everything in his honor, and he says to the student, Yoshua, he says to him, isn't our host beautiful? So the student says to him, did you get a look at her eyes? What do you mean she's beautiful? She's cross-eyed. And he looked at him and he said, you thought I was talking about her? I was talking about how beautifully she set up the place for us. What are you doing looking at women for? Leave. And with that, he told Yoshua he can't stay with him. And Yoshua kept trying to come back until finally, one time he tried to come back and his Rebbe was in the middle of reading Shema and he thought his Rebbe said, leave. And his Rebbe really said, give me a minute. And with that, he thought he was pushed away for life. And so he went and did what he did. We call him Yeshu HaNotzri. Notzri means the one who was formed. Because he went and declared himself that he was never formed by a man and a woman. So we always indicate that he was formed like every other human being by a man and a woman. So that's the term Notzri from the term Yotzer. He was formed like every other human being was formed. That's why we always call him Yeshu HaNotzri. But when Rabbi Yoshua ben Parachia came back, so Yanai passed away. And his wife asked him before he passed away, Shlemtzion said, how am I going to deal? Who's going to bury you? He said, go to the rabbis. She said, you killed the rabbis. He said, don't worry, they're good people. They'll help you anyways. And that's what happened when he passed away. The rabbis gave him a very honorable burial. Then she asked him, what do I do? How do I run the kingdom? He said, go to the rabbis. She said, what are the rabbis going to do? He said, they're kind people. They'll help you. They won't turn on you. She went to the rabbis, her brother, Shimon ben Shatach, and for the next 7.5 years, we had a golden era in Israel. Now, when she passed away at the old age of 73, so she left two children, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. And the two started fighting who would take over the throne. And their fighting reached such proportions that the rabbis intervened and they saw they had no choice, so they said, we'll make peace between you. Aristobulus will be king and Hyrcanus will be the Kohen Gadol. Hyrcanus was okay with that, but he had an evil friend, whose name I'm forgetting right now, Pandora, and his friend convinced him that he should go to the Arabian nations and have them join him in a battle against Aristobulus, which he did. In the middle of the battle, they felt that the reason Aristobulus was successful was because he had the pious Choni HaMe'agel on his side, the famous Choni who drew a circle in the sand and said, I'm not leaving the circle till it rains. So they captured Choni. And they told him, Hyrcanus' men told him, pray that we succeed and that the Jews inside Jerusalem die. And he said, I'm not going to pray that Jews die. And they tormented him and he refused until finally they murdered him. That was the end of Choni HaMe'agel, as it says in Josephus. So Aristobulus saw that he was losing. Right after they killed Choni, a tremendous plague struck his men. He saw he was losing. And it was at that time that Pompey had headed out to a great military conquest, I think in Armenia, and he was passing through Israel. And as he was passing through Israel, Hyrcanus went and invited him and said, "Join me. And if you join me, then Israel will be subservient to you." And Pompey agreed. And when Pompey came, and Aristobulus saw the forces of Pompey, this is 100 years before the destruction of the temple, so Aristobulus right away agreed. He conceded his kingdom and went into Pompey's camp. Pompey said, "If you accept me as king, let me into the temple to take all the wealth." Aristobulus said, "It's all yours." Pompey sent his men, and they approached the temple. The Kohanim and the people of Jerusalem did not agree with Aristobulus' agreement with Pompey, and they attacked Pompey's men. And at that point, Pompey lost thousands and thousands of men because they came unprepared for battle. They had a peace treaty with Aristobulus. Pompey blew a gut. He put Aristobulus in chains and told him, "We had a deal." Aristobulus said, "What do you want? I'm here. They did it without me." At that point, the people of Jerusalem closed up Jerusalem. And Pompey thought he would enter. He sent word for reinforcement and tried charging the city. When he charged the city, to his surprise, the people of Jerusalem attacked him. And he lost so many men that he started sending word back to Rome, "I'm giving up, it's not worth it. This is going to be such hard work to break into Jerusalem that we're not going to be able to succeed our other conquests. This wasn't the way it was supposed to play itself out." He was in the process of giving up when Hyrcanus and his men, they had brought Pompey to Jerusalem. They, from within Jerusalem, turned on Aristobulus' men. And the infighting, they sent word to Pompey and said, "You can come. We're going to help you get in." And it was today, now on the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, 100 years before the destruction, that through the infighting, Hyrcanus siding with Pompey, the Romans were able to breach the walls of Jerusalem and enter. And that would be, although Pompey would leave Jewish kings, he walked away with a tremendous respect for the temple. They would walk in murdering priests as they were sacrificing, and the priest, as he was dying, would hand the meat to the next priest and say, "You do the service, I'm dying." So he had such respect, he saw the awe of the Kohanim in the temple, that Pompey turned back and said, "I'm not destroying this place." But that period when Aristobulus and Hyrcanus fought one another is what brought Roman rule into Israel, which ultimately led to the destruction 100 years later of the temple by the Romans.